إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. ما بعد. I welcome all of you, and we're going to continue reading from الشرح الممتع على زاد المستقنع of our great شيخ العلامة أبي عبد الله محمد بن صالح العثيمين رحمه الله تعالى وغفر له ولوالديه وللمسلمين والمسلمات أمين. The Kitab al-Siyam, the section of fasting, الدرس الخامس. This is the fifth session, fifth class. Who can remind us of what's the last thing we stopped on? Where we stopped on? What point? The last thing we were studying before the class come to an end. Now, Ramzi? Sick person? But what is the point from the class? Based on what? The conditions that make fasting obligatory on a person. What is the first condition? To be a Muslim. Now, so it is obligatory upon the Muslims to fast. Okay? And number two? La. 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 Ish? Mukallaf. That's the answer. Mukallaf. Not mukallam. La, la, la. Mukallam. No, that's different. Mukallaf. Mim, kaf, lam, fa. Now you guys can, when I ask the next question, what it means when the fuqaha, they say mukallaf, what they mean behind that. Now you can talk. Those who say certain things earlier. Now you can say what you just said earlier. What is mukallaf, Uthman? He has to, I'm looking for two words. He has to be this and this. He has to be what? Baligh and aqil. Ahsant. That's the mukallaf. The mukallaf is the one who's baligh. What does it mean, baligh? Ukasha. Baligh, you know? Your name, Ukasha? You change your name? No. You know what means baligh? What is it? When a person reached the age of puberty. And aqil? Naam. You know what means aqil? I'm giving you a hint now.
Is there knowledge?
Huh?
Have knowledge?
He has to be sane. You know what I mean? Sane? Somebody who knows things. Not like crazy and Majnoon who don't know anything. Okay? So that's the second one. What was the third one? What was the third condition?
Qadir.
Naam. Qadir. And that's when we mentioned the sick and all that. Qadir meaning what?
Able
to fast. Because there are some people, they Muslim, they reach the age of puberty, they older, but they can't fast. They don't have the ability to fast, such as?
Terminally ill.
Yeah, somebody who's sick. Sick. With tafsir. Somebody who's sick can't fast. Okay? And then, there is two types of sickness. Number one is? The temporary sickness. Somebody who's sick, but temporary. He's not. And the other one is?
Dying.
Huh? What is it? Dying?
Dying.
Oh, Arabic. Masha'Allah. Okay, Allah Akbar. Daim. Ahsant. دائم. منين وين؟ permanent. أحسنت. نعم. الشرط الرابع. What was the first fourth condition? We mentioned that one. We didn't. We just mentioned it and we left. We left it there. نعم. مقيم. طيب. So جزاكم الله خيرا. So the Sheikh, he says the fourth of this condition, a person has to be مقيم, meaning resident, not traveling, not someone who's on a journey. He says, however, the مؤلف of زاد المستقنع, he didn't mention the ruling of fasting while on a journey, while traveling. For instance, if a person is on traveling, if he's traveling, that, for instance, that it is not obligatory for him to fast. He said the Sheikh, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَمَنْ كَانَ مَرِيدًا أَوْ عَلَىٰ سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ. However, is ill or on a journey, and they break the fast and they make up the those days. Okay? On another time. Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen, he says, we have a consensus of the scholars that it is permissible for the musafir to break the fast. Who's the musafir? The traveler. The one who's on a journey. The one who's traveling. The Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen, he says, we have a consensus of the scholars that it is permissible for him to break the fast. If the musafir choose to not to fast those days he's traveling, it's okay. It's permissible. However, they have a difference of opinions as related to if the traveler wants to fast. So they all say, look, if the traveler break his fast, it's permissible for him to do so on a journey. However, if that traveler now wants to fast, now they have difference of opinions. Al-Zahiriya, and some of other people of Qiyas, they say that the fasting of a traveler is not sound, is not correct. That's what they say. Remember, we're going to give you different opinions now, so don't just take this one, okay? There is difference of opinions. So here is one group of Zahiriya and others, they say that if a traveler, the musafir, fast in Ramadan, that fast is not counted, is not sahih, is not correct. He says because this person, if he fasts in Ramadan, is as though he fasted in Shaban. The same ruling, they says. What is their hujjah? What is their proof? The same ayah we just mentioned to you, ayah 185 in Surah Al-Baqarah. وَمَنْ كَانَ مَرِيدًا أَوْ عَلَىٰ سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ. They says, because Allah says, whoever is sick or on a journey, they make up the same exact days that they broke the fast when they were sick or on a journey. Tayyib. So they says, so here in this ayah, it is upon the sick and the traveler to make up certain days that they didn't fast while they're sick and while they're on a journey. And also they mention hadith that is agreed upon by Imam al-Bukhari, Imam Muslim, rahimahum Allah, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَيْسَ مِنَ الْبِرِّ الصَّوْمُ فِي السَّفَرِ. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, it is not from birr, it's not from a good action, a righteousness, to fast while on safar, while on a journey. And they said, so if it's not from righteousness, so it's a sin. That's how they understood it. They said, if it's not righteousness, then it is a sin for a person to fast while on a journey. But Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahmatullahi, says, لَكِنْ قَوْلُهُمْ ضَعِيفٌ. But those who went to this opinion is weak. Their opinion is da'if, is weak. Why is weak? He says, because we have other narrations. That the Prophet ﷺ fasted while he was on a journey in Ramadan. You see? Because we have other narrations that once the Prophet ﷺ, he himself fasted in Ramadan while they were on a journey. Likewise, we have other narrations that affirm that the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhim, the companions, on a journey with the Prophet ﷺ, some they used to fast in Ramadan and some didn't fast on a journey, not in Medina, okay? And those same narration, they mention clearly that those who were fasting, they didn't say nothing to those who didn't. And those who didn't, they didn't say nothing to those who were fasting. Now, and this hadith that is agreed upon, for instance, the hadith is agreed upon, Bukhari, these are hadith, you find them in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. And likewise, the hadith of Hamza ibn Amr al-Aslami, radiallahu anhu. Hadith, Hamza ibn Amr al-Aslami, radiallahu anhu. He asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّهُ يُسَادِفُنِي هَذَا الشَّهْرُ وَأَنَا فِي سَفَرُ. So he said to the Prophet ﷺ, Ramadan comes upon me while on a journey. For whatever reason, this companion, maybe he used to travel for business or for whatever reason. But he says, Ramadan will come while I'm on a journey. Okay? He's not home. While I'm on a journey, if he suffer. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said to him, in shi'ta fa sumu, in shi'ta fa after. The answer that the Prophet ﷺ gave him to this noble companion, he says, if you wish, fast. And if you wish, don't fast while on a journey. So he says now here, the ayah, based on this hadith, we understand the ayah that the first group of Zahiriyya and others they use as it is obligatory upon the fasting person or the traveling not to fast, because the ayah clearly said is upon him other days. So then they understood that it is obligatory upon that person to break the fast and make those same exact days. But here Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, he said according to the Sunnah, because the Sunnah explained the Quran, okay? That no, that it is not obligatory upon the traveler to break the fast and make up those days, the exact days, but rather give him a choice. If the traveler break his fast, then this is what is incumbent upon them to do, to make up the exact days that they broke on while they're on the journey. Is it understood? No. So therefore, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, he says, the musafir, the one who's traveling, it is not obligatory upon him to fast. But what's obligatory upon him or her is to make up the days. If they break the fast, the same case for al-marid, the sick person. Then the Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahmatullahi alayhi, he mentioned something. He said, now, since we're going to go read for a while about this matter of fasting while on a journey, okay? The Shaykh, he mentioned first, what is better for the sick and the musafir in Ramadan? What is better for them when someone is sick or someone who's on a journey? What is better for them for Ramadan? To break the fast or to fast? Huh? I wasn't asking a question, I was just still reading. Alright? MashaAllah. But I wasn't asking a question. This is what the Shaykh was mentioning here. The question is in the book. But what did you say? Huh? To break the fast. MashaAllah. We'll see. Alhamdulillah. So the Shaykh, he brought a question, Shaykh Nur Taymeen. Sometimes when I'm reading, I'm just reading a question. It's not like I'm asking you. Okay? If I want to ask you, I will let you know that this is a question for you, okay? InshaAllah ta'ala. Now. So Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, he mentioned, because it's good, this is a good way of teaching. When the Shaykh and the Alim present the issue in a form of a question, you know how important that, because now the people, they want what? They want to know the answer, so they pay attention. Now. So the Shaykh said, what is better for the sick person and the musafir? And of course, the sick person here is not the one who has a permanent illness. The one who is just sick, like somebody has a flu or something like that, okay? What is better for them? To fast, or for a person to fast even though he's sick or she's sick, to fast even though he's traveling or she's traveling, okay? The Shaykh, he answered, he said, we say, الأفضل أن يفعل الأيسر. What is better is that they do what's easy for them. Now, that he said, what we say to these people, do what's easy for you. If fasting, if the sick person, this person is sick and he wants to fast, person traveling, and they said, look, we're going to fast, but by them fasting will bring a dollar, a harm. They are harmed. They harm themselves. The Sheikh, he says, now we say that fasting, in this case, become haram for them. You see, if someone is sick and he choose to fast, and he make it worse for himself and harm himself, the Sheikh, he says, fasting for that person, remember, you gotta like, remember the conditions, okay? And the details. He said, that person is haram. Likewise, if a person traveling and it's become hard for him to fast in a way that he become harmful, then he says, we say it's haram for him to travel while on a journey. Why? The Sheikh, he mentioned an ayah. Pay attention to the ayah. Huh? Pay attention to the ayah. Because this shows the fiqh of the ulama and the fiqh of the sahaba in the first place. He says, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِكُمْ رَحِيمًا. Allah says, do not kill yourselves. For indeed Allah is Rahim, merciful to you. What the ayah says?
Don't kill yourselves.
But what the Shaykh, he brought this ayah on who? On somebody who's shooting another person? Somebody has a gun and shooting another guy? And he says, don't kill yourself, the ayah? What about the ayah is used of, in what context? Somebody who's fasting on a journey. So how you understand this ayah applies? Because Allah says, do not kill yourselves. Does someone who fasts when he's on a journey die? It's a possibility, but normally, under normal circumstances, someone who fasts while on a journey die?
No.
It's a possibility, but normally don't, right? So how the Shaykh uses? He says this ayah, even though that wording, its wordings, is about do not kill yourself, but he says this ayah is a proof that anything that is harmful to the body is forbidden, even if it doesn't kill the person. That's why the Shaykh says, if a person says, subhanAllah, you brought this ayah as a proof, this ayah is about killing. Allah is forbidding us from killing ourselves, not just causing some harm to ourselves. Okay? Somebody may say that, right? That's okay, it's normal. He said, subhanAllah, look, the Shaykh, he was talking about harm. Someone who's sick and fast cause harm to himself. Another person who's on a journey, fast, with difficulty, brings harm to himself. What this has to do with this ayah that clearly says about killing oneself? Al-Jawab. He says Jawab is clear. Say it's clear for the ulama. But for some of us, we're like, hey, but that's why we need to ask the people of knowledge. Okay, it's okay if we don't know a lot of hard things. It's okay. All right? Because with knowledge, we begin to understand a lot of things. Okay? So the Shaykh, he says, it's clear. The connection is very clear. What about it? That's different. Alayin, inshallah, we'll get to that.
Is it connected with the same ayah?
Which ayah? وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ?
No.
لا خلي احنا I understand but we're not talking about that ayah. We're not talking about that ayah. We're talking about the ayah, another ayah in Surah An-Nisa. Okay, we're talking about another ayah in Surah An-Nisa. Do not kill yourselves. You just got here, so you maybe it takes you some time to know what we're talking about. Right? So just relax, inshallah, until you observe the conversation. I understand what you're talking about because the other ayah that talk about the sick and that, and Allah says a few fasts is better for you. Naam, you're right about that. But that's not what we're talking about here. Alayin. So the Shaykh says, Naam, of Vahir min al ayah, what's the apparent meaning of this ayah in Surah An-Nisa is yes, do not kill yourselves. However, he says, look, we have an incident that took place in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The story of Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu. This great companion, Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu, he used this same ayah, okay, as a proof to something that he did. Something that because he didn't want to be harmed. And he used this ayah about killing. Do not kill yourself. And the Prophet ﷺ aqarrahu. The Prophet ﷺ accepted that from him. The istidlal. What is the story behind all this? The Prophet ﷺ, he sent Amr ibn al-As in charge of a sariya. A convoy or something, a group of companions. Prophet ﷺ used to send them. Convoy, or there is another word?
Caravan.
Not caravan. Caravan is usually for the business. A brigade or something?
Huh?
Battalion or something, yeah. A group of people, they go, the Prophet ﷺ sent them to take care of something, you know?
Convoy.
Battalion or something, a delegation. Alright, you got it. So he was in charge of them, he was the emir. And one night he was kind of junub. He was on the major impurity. Okay? But instead of him making ghusl, he made tayammum and lead the people in the salat. So they said that to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the person who is in a major state of impurity, janaba, he is supposed to take ghusl. Okay? But if a person cannot make ghusl, for whatever reason, the water is cold, and if he take it, it's going to make him sick, or somebody has a wound, then we have to use to go to the tayammum. So that's what Amr ibn al-As did. So the Prophet ﷺ, when he was informed when they came back, he talked to him. He said, أَصَلَّيْتَ بِأَصْحَابِكَ وَأَنْتَ جُنُوبٌ. Did you perform the salat? You lead them in salat while you were stayed in a state of impurity, like major state of impurity, janaba, meaning he didn't make ghusl, but he did make tayammum. فَقَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, he said, O Messenger of Allah, ذَكَرْتُ قَوْلَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, I remember what prevent him to make ghusl. He said, I remember the statement of Allah, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِكُمْ رَحِيمًا. Do not kill yourselves, for indeed Allah is merciful to you. وَكَانَتِ اللَّيْلَةُ بَارِدَ فَتَيَمَّمْتُ. And he said to the Prophet ﷺ, that night was very cold night, so he couldn't use water. So he said, I made tayammum. فَضَحِكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمُ تَقْرِيرًا لِفِعْلِهِ. Prophet ﷺ, he smiled in agreement with Amr ibn al-As. You see? Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, in other places, he didn't mention it here, but in other places like for tayammum and for ghusl and that, he brings detailed discussion. And he mentioned from that, he says, if a person took a shower with cold water in a cold night, that would kill that person? Usually. Huh? What usually person may what that ghusl may do to a person normally? If you for instance, it's cold and in the winter and you have nothing to heat up the water, and then you take a ghusl with the cold water. Well, what usually may happen to you?
Catch a cold.
You catch cold, right? Get a cold, bronchitis, huh? Pneumonia. But that person took a shower and died?
No.
The same thing. The Sheikh, he mentioned another example. He said, what if a person was shot by a gun in the head? Does it make him sick and give him a flu? What would do usually? He died. But everybody died from a wound?
No.
Somebody may made it. They make it. But most we know that people may, what? May die. See, that's the point that the Sheikh he mentioned. He said, but here, a person taking a shower, cold water in a cold night, that doesn't kill a person. Of course, unless if their ajal come to an end. But usually make them what? Sick. Everybody gets sick like that? No, some people, no problem. They used to that. Some people actually, they take shower always with the cold water, no hot water. Winter, summer, they used to it. Okay? Al-Ayin, the Shaykh he mentioned, see, here the Prophet ﷺ agreed. He didn't say to him, oh, no. You're using the ayah, it's not like that. The ayah is only for things that will kill you. Alright? But he says, no, the Prophet ﷺ, he accepted from him. The Shaykh says, so therefore this ayah, yes, it contained the killing that is forbidden for a person to kill himself, but also based on the hadith, take it wrong, it's also a proof to stay away from anything that causes you harm as well, even if it doesn't kill you. No. He says, so based on this we say, if fasting is harmful for the sick person, now we say that fasting is haram for that person. It's haram. Then the Shaykh mentioned another question. قَالْ مَا مِقْيَاسُ الضَّرَرِ If somebody say, well, how we understand the harm? How we understand? Some people, they're like, okay, how you understand that when you fast and you're sick, like somebody has a flu, for example, or something, or somebody on a journey, how we know that this fasting is harmful to you? How do you know? The Shaykh says, by two ways. بِالْحِسْ وَبِالْخَبَرِ You know it by you yourself feeling it. Feeling the harm. Because you know yourself if you're getting harmed. Or by information. You've been informed by somebody else. That somebody else, we gonna know who is. And the Shaykh is gonna mention some details about that somebody, okay? Who you may think that somebody was. Huh? A doctor, okay. Who? Or? Somebody say Sheikh? Which Sheikh? Maybe, I thought I heard the Sheikh. Allahu A'lam. Tayyib. So, this is a good question. How you know it's harmful? Is this a level? Is it a degree? He says yes, it could be known by two ways. At the person himself, he'll see. Because we know if something is harmful for us. We know that. For instance, I tell you, just an example. Somebody who has a problem with his arm, okay? Huh? And so when they try to do some movements, they feel the pain. They know that those movements in there is what? Harmful for them. They should stay. They should stop until they feel better, okay? He says, as for the hiss, Naam, he says, the person, he will feel himself that by him fasting, that make it difficult for him and harmful. Because now he's going to feel pains, and he's going to delay the cure, and the like. That's harm, when the cure is delayed, when a person fasting feel more pains, okay? Like, for example, someone who has the flu, for example. He's sneezing and this. But then instead of that person, break the fast and drink more liquids, That's what the person has a flu do, the doctor, they said. The medicine is only for temperature and pain, killer and stuff. But the real thing is the food, like you drink more fluids, okay, soup, huh? Like light food, like a nice chicken noodle soup or something like that, okay? Some teas, okay, with ginger and honey and the like, all right? But this person, he ain't doing that. He has the flu. Here is two people who have the flu. One person in the same house. This person, he broke the fast, and he's taking, mashallah, these nutrients all day. By Asr, he's feeling better. By Maghrib, alhamdulillah, the signs are clearing out. The other one says, I'm fasting. Now he was walking in the morning. By Asr, he's lay down. Can't even move, and he has more fever, and you know what I'm saying? So that's harm. Okay, now his case getting worse. It's worsened, okay? Tayyib. As for the information, he says he's informed by a tabib. Alim thiqa. A trustworthy doctor who has knowledge of what he's doing, okay? Somebody who he knows. He told him, look man, if you fast, now you're sick. Okay, but if you fast today or next couple of days, take a break, okay? Break the fast, don't fast. But if you fast, if the person, they say, well, what if I fast, what's going to happen? Is your body can't take it, okay? Because you need to take this medicine now, and you need to take it easy and drink some tea and some fluids, and if you fast, it's going to harm you, okay? So he said, yes, if the doctor told him, look, don't fast, he don't fast, okay? What if he was not informed by a doctor? He was informed, he's in the masjid. Right at Fajr time, by Suhoor, he's like, Sarakhi, subhanAllah, I feel like fever and this. What do you think? I fast? Huh? And he's, no, don't fast, or fast. What you should do? Huh? A layman person, not a doctor or nothing. The Sheikh says, no, you don't take that in consideration. Tayyib? Likewise, if a person who just like known to be a doctor, but he has no clue what he's doing, he doesn't have knowledge of medicine, you don't take his statement in consideration as well. I know. Here is a question. Is there a condition for that doctor to be Muslim, to trust his judgment when he tells us, listen, don't fast? Because the non-Muslim, you don't trust him. I'm asking right now. That's the question, Sheikh Nuzaymin. Let me see what you have to say. Is that doctor has to be Muslim or not?
No.
No what? No Muslim or no non-Muslim?
He doesn't have to be Muslim.
He doesn't have to be Muslim. Meaning what? Like?
Meaning he has to listen to him.
To listen to who?
To the doctor.
Which doctor? The Muslim or non-Muslim?
Non-Muslim.
The non-Muslim. But he don't listen to the Muslim.
No, he doesn't listen to both.
To both. Meaning it doesn't matter if the doctor is a Muslim or non-Muslim. As long as?
As long as he has knowledge.
As long as he has knowledge and trustworthy, he's trusted, he's been making good judgments. This is not a doctor that was on the news, on CNN. People, they know he's a bad doctor, he made bad mistakes, okay? No, this is a good doctor. He does his job, okay? There's no problems with this doctor. Okay, so you're saying it doesn't matter if he's a Muslim or non-Muslim? We'll see what the Sheikh say, okay? Okay. He says he doesn't? The doctor.
Doesn't have any opposition against Islam.
The doctor?
Yeah.
Well, how would you know that the doctor, they make that out there? Do the doctors, usually doctors, they don't discuss those matters, right?
No,
yes, Ismail, what do you want to say?
I was going to say, yes, because the non-Muslim, they probably wouldn't know about the fasting of the Muslim.
The non-Muslim, they do what? They don't know about fasting?
Fasting from the Muslim, they're not Muslim.
Well, you got a point, but fasting, the non-Muslim doctor, they may not know what is the meaning of fasting in Islam and what the people should stay away from or not. But they understand linguistically what fasting is. And especially because sometimes when you go to a non-Muslim doctor and you ask him, he says, look, man, I'm sick, right? And you prescribe this and he said, I should take this immediately. I'm a Muslim and it's Ramadan. And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah, Ramadan. No, 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 go ahead. You don't fast, okay? You know Ramadan? Yeah, I know you guys don't supposed to eat and drink until sunset. Man, that's like 15 hours from now. No, it's not going to be good for you. Yeah, I'm not a Muslim, but I don't know whatever your rulings, but I'm just telling you that if you don't eat, take this medication, some flus in the next couple of hours, you're going to come back to me and they may bring you here instead of you walking. You see, so they know what fasting in general is. Don't eat and don't drink. Okay? Alayhi. The Shaykh, he says, there is two statements of Ahlul Ilm. Two opinions. Meaning those who they say, yes, he has to be Muslim. And those who they say, doesn't matter. The Shaykh said, was sahih annahu la yushtarat. The Shaykh, he says, and the sound opinion, that it is not a condition for the doctor to be a Muslim. These doctors who say, look, fasting is harmful for you, don't fast this couple of days or whatever. Because the doctor may say, listen, man, don't fast this whole month. Because your situation is serious. He's going to need a couple of months for you to really, really recover. Or the doctor, based on the situation, may say, look, I advise you to at least take 2 days or 3 days off, okay? From fasting, because you need to take this medicine every 4 to 6 hours, and you guys are fasting 15, 16 hours, and you need to get some flus in your system and this and that, okay? So it's very important, stuff like this. So the Shaykh said, it is not a condition for the doctor to be a Muslim, as long as we trust their statements, okay? We trust that that's a good doctor, okay? And we take their we apply their instructions. If they say, don't fast, okay? Because fast is harmful, it's going to be harmful for you. He says, we don't fast. He says, why? Because that's his field. That's his doctor. He knows that's his job. It's not like a mechanic tell you, listen, man, don't fast. This is a doctor. He knows that your body is weak based on the whatever. In a consultation, he says, you need to not to fast, okay? Tayyib. He said, and especially, look, these doctors, they careful. Even if it's a kafir, non-Muslim, but they care about their reputation. Okay? So he's not going to tell you anything. Like for somebody say, oh yeah, because I'm a Muslim, he's going to tell me, break the fast, so just to put me in trouble with Allah. No, they don't do it like that. He says, these people, they serious about their job. Okay, because later on, somebody may come and say, hey, why did you tell me to break the fast? Because I went to another doctor and said, it's not a problem. Alright? So they have to prove that. So the Shaykh is saying, they usually care about their reputation. They don't say nothing except that which they believe to be at that time the right thing to do. Okay? He says, and beside the point, look, the Prophet ﷺ, he trusted a kafir. Right or wrong, in one of the most important and dangerous situations. What's the Shaykh is referring to here? Huh? The hijrah. Aynan. That's the most important thing. What is the most dangerous thing about it? Quraysh trying to kill the Prophet ﷺ, and they're running after him. So when the Prophet ﷺ made the hijrah, he migrated from Mecca to Medina. He, subhanahu wa ta'ala, hired a mushrik, a polytheist, min Bani Dayl. He hired him, okay, as a guide. His name was Abdullah ibn Urayqit. Abdullah ibn Urayqit. As a guide, because to go, subhanAllah, through the desert and through the valleys and it takes days to get there from Mecca to Medina, you need to know where you're going, otherwise you get lost in the desert. This man, he knows his ways. Okay? So he's a guide. So the Prophet ﷺ hired him as a guide, and he wasn't a Muslim. this man, he was a mushrik then. Why? Because, and this is how important, because there was the hijrah, and for the safety of the Prophet ﷺ and his companion, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and how dangerous this matter, because Quraysh, they were after the Messenger of Allah ﷺ. They even made a price of 100 camels for anyone who point to where the Prophet ﷺ is. They say, if anyone find the Prophet and tells us where he is, automatically that person get 100 camels. So the price was very high, okay? So, and but the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he trusted him. He said, "Kana watiqan minhu." So he said, this is a proof that if the mushrik, we trusted them, we take their statements. Now, if you trust them, you take their statements. In that matter that you're dealing with, okay? It's not like you trust them in general. So now, if a person, a Muslim, what we benefit from this, if one of us go to the doctor, and the doctor, Muslim or non-Muslim, say, by the way, you need to take some break, and you need to drink a lot of fluids, alright? And you gotta take this medicine, alright, immediately, every 4 hours. And now it's only 9 o'clock in the morning, and you're already fasting, alright? And then, of course, if he's a Muslim, he's going to ask you, are you fasting? Oh, yeah, yeah. Then he will say, that doctor may say, you know what? Yes, it's okay. It's not a big deal. Just fast, but just take the medicine in the night time. He can say that. Or he may say, the Muslim may say, no. Listen, I recommend that you don't fast. You need to get this medicine immediately. I need to get some fluids in your body. All right? So don't fast. In matter of fact, for a couple of days. At least 2 days, today and tomorrow, okay? And then if you want, get back to me and I will do another consultation, we'll see. As for the non-Muslim, then you have to talk to them. The non-Muslim, when you go to them, he says, look, here is the prescription. You got to take, they may even say, hey, take. I have two for you right now, take them. And you say, oh, doctor, thank you, but I'm fasting. It's Ramadan. Some of the minimum non-Muslim, they know Ramadan. And I assume that doctors, they know Ramadan, especially in the area where there is Muslims. They know. Actually, I was in a dentist today, and one of the non-Muslims that worked there with a Muslim, my dentist, alhamdulillah, he's a Muslim. And then they tried to get me to come back, huh? And then the doctor says, oh, don't give him the appointment next month because it's Ramadan. And that person says, oh, Ramadan is here already? They know. So we say, no, it's not yet, but inshallah, it's in a couple of days, alhamdulillah. But if the doctor is non-Muslim, you tell them, look, I'm a Muslim and we're in Ramadan now, so what do you think? Because here is what it is, man. We don't eat from like 5 o'clock in the morning until almost 9 p.m. 8:50 or something, okay? Alright, so is it okay for me? And this is how it is, this fasting. We don't take no medicine, nothing, no water, no food, no fruits, nothing until sunset. Now at that time, that doctor says, oh, no, listen, man, I don't understand this fasting. We're not going to get into that. But no, you can't wait. That's like 15 hours, 16 hours almost. That's a lot. Your body cannot take it. You're gonna be worse. So, is it okay in your religion? See, they may ask, is it okay in your religion, or you have to? He says, no. It's okay in my religion. Our religion is a religion of mercy, of rahmah. Allah says in the Quran, if you're sick, break the fast. He says, oh, okay. Well, that's what I advise you to do. So, what you do? You take that and break the fast. Now, another mas'ala, imara. هل الأولى المسافر أن يصوم أو الأولى ألا يصوم? So now that he was talking about the sick person. Now, what about the musafir? What is better for him? To fast on a journey or not? He mentioned different opinions as well. He says, as for the Hanabila, Madhab al-Hanabila, Naam, as it is mentioned in Book al-Insaf, Al-Awla al-La Yasum, Bal-Karihu al-Sawm al-Musafir. Al-Hanabila, they say, it's better for a person not to fast on a journey. Rather, they consider it to be disliked. It is disliked for a traveler to fast. Al-Shafi'iyya, follow the madhab al-Shafi'iyya. Al-Shafi'iyya, قال الأولى أن يصوم. They said it's better for him to fast. You see? Shafi'iyya, they says it's better for him to fast. Others, the Shaykh al-Adami, he says, التخيير. Some, they said it's up to him, the person, to choose what's better for them. We do not say that breaking the fast take precedence over fasting or fasting over breaking the fast. Sheikh al-Adamin, he says the sound opinion is tafsil. Is it detailed? Huh? There is some details in this matter. That is, if fasting or not is the same effect on the person, he says we say that fasting is better for him, and for four reasons. Okay? So pay attention to these details, okay? So the Shaykh al-Adamin, he says, we say, if a person, when he fasts on a journey, is the same. It's no harm for him or nothing. Okay? We say, it's better for that person to fast. For this, four reasons. The first reason, this is the action of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it. As in the hadith of Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, قال, كنا مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في يوم شديد الحر حتى إن أحدنا لا يضع يده على رأسه من شدة الحر وما فينا صائم إلا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعبد الله بن رواحة. This hadith is collected by Imam al-Bukhari, Imam Muslim, رحمهم الله. Abu Darda radiallahu anhu says, we were with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم on a day that was extremely hot. A day that was extremely hot. So much so that you find one of us putting his hand on his head to cover his head from the heat, from the extreme heat. Okay? No one amongst us was fasting except the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Abdullah ibn Abi Rawaha. Abdullah ibn Rawaha. Tayyib? The second reason, أنه أسرع في إبراء الدمة, that it's that's the quickest way to fast, meaning to fulfill your obligation. As opposed, if he break the fast, he have to wait until the end of Ramadan and then make it up. Okay? Number three, أنه أيسر على المكلف وما كان أيسر فهو أولى. This is the easiest for a person to do, to make, to fulfill the obligation in its time. So whatever is easy for you, you should do it immediately. And the fourth, that fasting in Ramadan is not like fasting, like making up those days. Because Ramadan is a noble month, is a noble time. Okay? So I said, based on this, we say that fasting for this person is better for him than not to fast. Even though, keep in mind, it's permissible for a person on a journey to break his fast. Okay? This is for a person that fasting doesn't bring them no harm or no difficulty. Now the Shaykh, he says, but however, if fasting result in a great hardship while on a journey, we say now breaking the fast is better and take precedence. And what is the dalil? Because the ulama of Ahlul Sunnah, they bring adilla, they don't just speak from their minds. The dalil, the proof is that the Prophet ﷺ, he was fasting. Hadith in Sahih Muslim. Hadith in Sahih Muslim, the hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhu. The Prophet ﷺ was fasting on a journey. They were on a journey with the companions, and the Prophet ﷺ, he was fasting. And he did not break the fast until he was informed and said to him ﷺ, that the people who are fasting, it's a great hardship on them. They fasting, but it's difficult upon them. All right? And they waiting for you, O Messenger of Allah, what you going to do? And they didn't want to break their fast because they follow on you. You're still fasting. So the Prophet ﷺ at that moment, he ordered and he asked for some water, okay, a glass of water. And after Asr, listen, it's not like this, it's close to Maghrib. After Asr, and he picked it up until the people saw him, and he drank it. While the people are watching and looking at him, so they take him as an example. They take him as an example, okay? So this is after Asr. Okay, the Prophet ﷺ, he brought some water to him, and they brought some water, and he drank it in front of the people so they can follow him. So here are the people that fasting was a hardship on them on a journey. They were fasting because the Prophet ﷺ was fasting. They followed his example. Now he broke his fast. So they're going to follow his example. However, later on, the Prophet ﷺ was informed that, however, some people did not break the fast. Some people did not break the fast. And they continue fasting until Maghrib. The Prophet ﷺ says, "Ulaika al-usat, ulaika al-usat." Those meaning who continued to fast and didn't break the fast, even though after the Prophet ﷺ broke his fast, he said, "Those are the disobedient. Those are the disobedient." Why? He says, because Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen says, because they fasted with a difficulty, and because they opposed the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, since he broke his fast, and they didn't. And they stay fasting, they remain fasting. So there is tafsir now. The third opinion the Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen mentioned is that if the difficulty is extreme now, not just the difficulty, but it is extreme, that may resort to harm. The person be harmed. Now he says, fasting become haram for that person on a journey. Because keep in mind, the people's conditions are different. Some people, they travel in a nice car, mashallah, Cadillac, whatever, fancy seats, mashallah, reclines, AC, Allahu Akbar, and he has Hudayfi, he has Sheikh Rabi', Sheikh bin Baz, bin Uthaymeen, he don't even know what's going on. He's back relaxing or chillaxing, and listening to the Quran, listening to the lecture of the ulama, air conditioned. He's like someone who's traveling on foot. Is it the same? Yeah, the same. Somebody who's traveling on foot in the heat and holding his luggage and the sun, and he go up and down the valleys, and he has to run away from stray dogs. And is it the same? Not the same. And you still find him, maybe that person who's in foot, it's okay fasting for him than the one who's in an air conditioned car. Yeah, no, Akbar. People different. Alayyin, the Shaykh, he says, if that difficulty become extreme, that become harmful or resort to harm, it become haram for that person to fast, then they break the fast and make it up from another days. And Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, he mentioned not in here but in other more detailed discussion, he says, and beside the point, if the person choose to not to fast while on a journey, especially in the summertime when the day is hot and it's long hours, 15, 16 hours, he said he can make up the same day or two they broke. When? In a winter when there is shorter hours. It's not a necessity that if you break the fast and the day is 16 hours, you have to make it in another day which is 16 hours. No, you just have to make it from another day. In a winter when, for example, it's only 9 hours or 10 hours, okay? Allahu Akbar, this is from the mercy of Allah. He says, as for, and he mentioned the ayah, the same ayah, do not kill yourselves. He says, as for the statement of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or some of the, like the Hanabila they use as a proof, that the person should not fast, or they said it's preferable for a person not to fast, because the Prophet ﷺ says, لَيْسَ مِنَ الْبِرِّ صَوْمُ فِي السَّفَرِ. It is not from birr and from righteous actions to to fast while on a journey, and the hadith is sound. It's not like the hadith da'if or something. No, the hadith is sound. Okay? Tayyib, so the Shaykh says, as for that hadith, is that the Hanabila they use as a proof, this is specific to that man, one man. There is a context of the, behind this hadith. That on a journey, the Prophet ﷺ, he saw the people in a circle around one man who's laying down, and they're trying to get him some shade from the extreme heat. So the Prophet ﷺ, he says, what about him? What's happening to him? They say he's fasting. So they were on a journey. Because he was fasting, now he becomes so harmed that he couldn't even move. So now he's laying down. The Sahaba, radhiyallahu alayhim, for their kindness. And they look at the Sahaba, what they do for each other when they're traveling. They care. Alright? Then they were trying to get him some shade. Then the Prophet ﷺ, at that moment, he says, Laysa min al-birr as-sawm fi safar. It is not from righteous actions to fast on a journey. Okay? Based on that, because the condition of that person now. And we conclude this session, this fifth section, by bringing the Ash-Shart al-Khamis, the fifth and the last conditions that the Shaykh al-Uthaymeen mentioned, from those conditions that they have to, that make the fast obligatory upon a person. Al-Khulu min al-Mani' al-Mawani' wa hada khas bin nisa. This fifth condition is specific to women. But it's good for us men to know. Alhamdulillah, is for women. And it is about the haid and the nifas. About the menstruation and the nifas, the postnatal bleeding. He says the haid and the nufasa, it is not incumbent upon them to fast. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith of Abi Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, as it's collected by Imam al-Bukhari in his Sahih, rahimahullah, when he was asked about this matter, he says, أَلَيْسَ إِذَا حَادَتْ لَمْ تُصَلِّ وَلَمْ تَصُمْ. Prophet ﷺ, he confirmed that yes, the woman does not pray and does not fast on their menses. And then the Shaykh, he mentioned three consensus of the ulama. They have three agreements on it is not obligatory upon them to fast while on their menses, not period. Number one, it is not accepted from them as a sound fast if those who try to fast, they shouldn't fast, but if a woman did fast, it is not taken into consideration. And they have to make it up. So these are three agreements. There is no difference of the ulama in this one. They all agreed on these three points that for the women in their menses or their postnatal bleeding, it is not obligatory upon them to fast. And if those who mistakenly did fast, it is not considered as a sound fasting for them. And it is obligatory upon them to make up the same exact days that they have missed. And of course we know that the women, they do not pray as well. It is not permissible for them to pray while they are on their menses or they are on their postnatal bleedings. However, the women are ordered to make up the days they missed from fasting in Ramadan, but they are not to make the days of Salat. Let's say a woman, she's on her menses. Her cycle is 6 days, for example, because women's cycle differs. Some they got 3 days, some get four, some get seven, some get nine, more or less. Let's say this woman, her cycle was for 6 days in Ramadan. So this woman, she did not fast for 6 days and did not pray as well. But after Ramadan, this woman, she will make up 6 days of fasting and does not make the prayers. Does not make the prayers, alhamdulillah. The woman in her postnatal bleeding, meaning the woman that have the bleedings after giving birth, she has the same rulings. She don't fast, and she from those many rulings applicable on them, they don't fast and they don't pray. But they make up the fast and do not make the prayer, and we stop here, inshallah ta'ala. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.